New Testament talks about the Father. He's our Father in heaven because of what he did on the cross. So, anyway, we'll go forward on that here in just a little bit. Come and get started, and we'll talk about the Father.
Well, good morning, everyone. It's good to see you. I've been talking around some folks this morning, so got a little bit of information to share with you. We'll start off by looking at the bulletin for today. We're going to have a visitor this afternoon in the evening service. His name is Finley Cutshaw, and he's from the East Side Baptist Church in Memphis, Tennessee. And they have a mission down there. It's called the Fundamental Baptist Worldwide Mission. And so Brother Finley is a friend of our pastor, and he'll be here tonight for a visit. I do not know if he will speak in the service other than maybe just kind of giving you a little bit of knowledge of what they're doing there. So we'll look forward to that. As far as I know, that's the only special thing that's happening today. For next Sunday, on August the 13th, we're going to have Jonathan Owens and family here. They're missionaries to Bulgaria. So that will be very interesting to hear them. And the rest of the stuff that's in the bulletin, you can kind of follow up. We've got some things that's going to happen in a week or two, cancer meetings and, of course, the fair booth and that sort of thing. But until then, you know, we'll wait till a little closer to talk about that. I do want to get to the prayer sheet because we have a lot of folks that are having issues, and some of the issues have changed. We do want to pray for Mary Ellison this morning. You know, Mary and Dave had come here for so long, and Mary has gotten shingles now, and it's really bad. Kim showed me a picture of her, and she's got it all over on one side of her head and face, and it's really bad looking. So she's having a difficult time, and I'd like for y'all to remember her in prayer. We also remember Bob Daniels. Bob was here last Sunday, and they were quietly in and quietly out, I think. So he's trying to avoid the masses. So just keep praying for him that his blood will do what he needs. And then also Miss Judy Whitson. I noticed she's here this morning. Miss Frances Lawson has had a rough week. She's fell, and she's also having to have some transfusions or infusions, whatever you want to call them. She's having some heart issues, and please remember her. She's very weak. It's hard for her to get her strength back. Let's remember Carl. Carl's got upcoming surgery, and we pray for him. That's in September. And then Harold Baskett's sister started her radiation this week, and so we pray that that'll go well. Miss Kim Brummett has got some additional issues that she's found out about, and so she'll be having to have some surgery. And we need to remember her in prayer. This is not to do with her eyes. It's some other things. So she is being added to the church prayer list on Wednesday. So if y'all would remember her. Also, Miss Wanda Huskins, I found out this morning, is dealing with some heart failure. She's just had this replacement and everything in her leg, and she's now dealing with this heart failure. And so let's pray for her that they can give her some medication to help with that. And of course, Pat Shaw is not here today. She's having a rough day. And Randy and Pat Scalf, we're still praying for them. We know they're having a rough time. And who's that? Pat Scalf? Okay. 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 Miss Pat Scalf has been in the hospital at Johnson City, and they're checking her for a stroke. So we need to remember them in our prayers. Randy really has a rough time, and of course now Pat, who has been his mode of transportation, she may be down. So let's pray for them. Also, Jerry Scalf, whose wife is Marcia, that does our decorating of the church. Jerry is in rehab out at Four Oaks, and let's continue to pray for him. Is there anyone else this morning that has a special prayer request? Yes, ma'am. Okay. Okay. That's Miss Sherry Shadden. She had a fall this week that injured her eye socket, and they cannot do surgery on it because they don't have the available, the swelling is so bad that they can't do the surgery right now. So they gotta wait until that goes down some. So y'all pray for her. She's surely having a lot of pain. And Miss Connie Fish come riding in on a wheelie this morning. She's it's good to have her back. She got over that foot problem she was having, but now her hips bothering her, and so let's pray for her. So, anyone else? Yes, ma'am. Amen. Praise from Miss Teresa Payne. She's God answered prayer, and there's a lady that's coming to help with her mom. And so we just so are thankful for that. We pray that it's all going to work out good, and that this will take a load off Miss Payne's mind, and bless her mom. And so thank you for your prayers. Okay, anyone else? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we come to you this morning, Lord, with thanksgiving. And Lord, we offer our praise to you for your blessings, God. And Lord, just so many people that I have spoken to in the last week or so, Lord, that has had answered prayer in their life. And God, thank you for that. Thank you for being mindful of us. And this morning, as we study, Brother Steve is going to talk about the name in the Bible of our Father, God our Father. And Lord, you do watch over us. Lord, you take care of us. You provide for us. And Lord, we thank you for that. We pray that you will bless this Sunday school service. Lord, we thank you for each one that's here. And then, Father, we also pray for our preaching service this morning. You'll bless our pastor, Lord, that you'll give him that which you'd have him to preach to us, and God, that we would go out of here a different people today, Lord, one that's had our eyes open to some things that maybe we have not had them open to before. Just bless, I pray, today, and Lord, we pray for that one that may be here, Lord, that don't know you, and pray today might be the day of salvation for them. We ask these things in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you, Danny. The Father, a lot of us pray in His name, and other ways we use the Father. I've started my prayers a long time ago with our most gracious Heavenly Father. I got that from my grandfather on my dad's side. He was a deacon in a little Southern Baptist church and a Sunday school superintendent. And many, many times hearing him pray that prayer at around the dinner table and at church. Our most gracious Heavenly Father, he would start that prayer. And I kind of took that on years ago as a young man praying that way. And when you start looking at that name, Father, it's special in three different ways. You know, we'll look at the word Father, the Father, and my Father, your Father, the Holy Father, and Abba Father. And most of all that's in the New Testament. In the Old Testament, we've been talking about names that nation of Israel gave God, which was Jehovah, and then we added all those things to it in the last few weeks. We've been talking about that. So I want to open up looking at Matthew chapter 6, verse 5 through 9, and we have Jesus here on the Sermon on the Mount. And he mentions it in this message. In chapter 6, I'm sorry, I might have said sentence. Chapter 6, Matthew chapter 6, verse starting there at verse 5, where he's talking about how we should pray and how other folks pray. And so let's read those verses and we'll get started there in verse 5. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. Well, I think we've all been around people or seen people that pray like that. And it's very wordy and flowery, but it has no... It's hollow to the point that it doesn't touch the soul to the point to where it's a worldly thing instead of a personal relationship, talking to Christ, talking to the Father in heaven. So I don't think any of us have that problem here, being standing up and saying those kind of prayers. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into a closet. And when thou shalt shut thy door, pray thy Father, which is in secret. And thy Father, which seeth in secret, shall reward thee openly. But when thou ye pray, use not vain repetition. There's some religions, churches, however how you want to say it. There's a lot of repetition praying. Or, you know, we pray those little prayers with our kids when they're first learning how to pray and that kind of thing for dinner and at night going to bed. which is very harmless, but it teaches them how to pray, as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for which much, with their much speaking. God's, our Father, we know, answers prayer in a very silent way. He speaks to us. And he hears these things in private. We don't have to pray out loud. We don't have to be out in the middle shouting in the street. We don't have to be waving a Bible and all that that goes on sometimes when you see these things. And it says there in verse 8, but be not ye therefore likened unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask. That verse right there has always caused me to step back and think, why does God want us to pray if he already knows it? And some people use that as an excuse not to pray. Because they think, well, God already knows it, so why should I have to pray and ask for it? Because only in the Bible we know God's asked us, and right here he's telling us too, to pray. God wants to hear from us. The Father in heaven wants to hear from us. And after this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And he goes on there to talk about the pattern, the prayer, the pattern that we should pray. Teaching the disciples to pray, teaching the people there at that day on the Sermon on the Mount to pray and how to pray. The New Testament church was just getting established. And people didn't understand this word Father. How can he be our Father? He is not my Father. He's not physically my Father, but how can he be? This relationship, this Christianity that we have, that we hold on to, because of what Christ did on the cross, this relationship is based on love. We love him because he first loved us. So he is our Father. He's our Father because it's what God did on the cross. Like a father that loves his children, that's the way Christ loves us, the way God loves us. It's unconditional. It's everlasting love. The way we love our children and love our grandchildren and love our spouses, it's unconditional. We don't love God because we think we're going to get something back. We don't pray things in his name because we think, well, I'm going to get. Well, we're asking for things, and we need things. And if God sees that we need them, he most likely will provide them. He is our Father. He wants to be that. He wants us to have that relationship that children have, knowing their Father. He wants us to. He talks about it in the Bible that we are his children because of what he did on the cross. It has nothing to do with a physical relationship. People get confused in the world, folks. There's religions all around the world. Missionaries deal with this a lot. That they deal with this relationship with God thinking that, how can I be a child of God? And they let that be a stumbling block to their salvation because they've heard different things from other churches and other people. And in the day when many earthly fathers walk out on their children, father has become a name that some people in some families don't want to hear it because their father walked away from that family, walked away from that household. Split households. The devil's in the middle of that in our society today. He does not want a father-mother relationship in the middle of a family because that is the grounding of a family, the love that they have for themselves passed on to their children and raising a family and church and the relationships here that we have in church. So father's become a kind of a word today in certain realms. It's not talked about. We're not going to talk about your father. I don't want to know about him. You hear all this stuff from people that are bitter because of relationships that have fell apart because the devil got in the middle of it. And how in the world can you raise children in an atmosphere like that? That's why we've got a society right now that's in trouble a little bit. Because of this father relationship with his children. Kids need a father. I need a father in heaven. My mom and dad are in heaven. But I've got a father above those, my blood relationship. They're there in God's care now. And I'll be there someday. And I thank the Father in heaven for that. But I have a father, Abba, that I can run to. And people don't understand that distinct relationship that Christians, people that are saved by the blood of the Lamb, have with God, our Father. You see, they miss that connection. And they want to use that as a stumbling block. The devil uses it as a stumbling block. Of course, we know the Old Testament, Israel talked about Jehovah. So we're mostly talking about how God talked in the New Testament, how Christ talked to establish the church and the relationship between him and God. He was God. He was God's son. And people get lost in that. People can get so confused. They like to be confused because they don't want to come to the truth that their sins is going to send them to hell. Because they don't want to have a relationship with that Father. We all know being brought up in a home, if we didn't have a relationship with our father and just with our mother, things got sideways. Homes just get in a mess without that proper pecking order. That's the way God established it in the beginning. And that's why he uses it in our relationship with him. He wants us to understand that he is the Father of our salvation. So the New Testament particularly talks about this fathership, because of what Jesus Christ did, the approach that he has toward the children, or us, God sees us as sons and daughters in this relationship because of what Christ did on the cross. And that's the only way we can look at this thing. People that are not truly saved cannot call God their Father. It's just a fact. It's a fact of the Word. Yes, we are creatures that's been created by God. God created all things. People get hung up on that. Well, if God created me, why am I not good enough to get to heaven? Because sin entered the world. I mean, you just go back to basic salvation understanding. But the world wants to let this creation, that people will use any angle in the world to try to keep from coming to the fact of that who they are and what they are in this world has nothing really to do with their relationship with God the Father. It's all because of what Christ did on the cross. gives us that relationship. And until you have that, you can't call God your Father. So, and some people get bitter about that. And I'm sorry, that's what the Word says. That's the way it's set up. That's the way it should be. You need to be saved. Well, I'm just not ready to do that. Well, then don't complain about saying God is your Father. You can't be until you accept salvation in your life and accept what Christ did on the cross and experience that new birth. When we have that new birth, we become children of God. And we're very childish. New believers don't understand the depth that we understand right here this morning. They don't understand that what they have gotten in that salvation experience in believing that Christ finally come just to believe that Christ died for their sins, and they accept that simple fact by faith, they're saved. So then it starts getting to the point to where I can call him Father. Yes, you can. Because the Son died and you're a child of God now. So when you start explaining those kind of things to people and they understand that through accepting Christ, they're cleansed from their sin, they're acceptable to God, and that fatherhood of God is now theirs, and they can realize that, they can understand and call God their Father. Christ explains it in John 3, 6 and 7. He says, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. Simple verse that we've heard many, many times. A lot of people can't get by that, folks, without somebody helping, holding their hand and saying, look, here's what Christ is saying. Yes, you're born of the flesh. Yes, you're part of God's creation. But you can't be accepted into the family until you trust Christ, until you're born again. Believers have a new family relationship. Children of God are now a newborn child. The sons of God by adoption. Let's look in Romans. Look in Romans Road. I mean, there's stuff in there that's so simple. We've read it before to people. If you use Romans Road for salvation purposes, there's many verses there. I mean, we can look at number one. We always usually start out there in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But then if you go over in chapter 5 and look at verse 8, but God commendeth his love toward us, that in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. They're powerful, they're big, that we, just like what I was getting ready to say, those simple verses, because we've heard them and read them so many times. It's simple to us, but hard to those that are not children of God. Blessed is the man whom the Lord will not impute sin. Once you have accepted Christ, God cannot impute sin to your account because it's into the sea of forgiveness. Now we know there's a lot of stuff that goes on there, getting forgiven of sin and letting God have that, and you go on and turn away from that. And all that has to be, that's inside a Christian life, living a Christian life. And do we always claim this inheritance? Do we enjoy a spiritual wealth in our life? Spiritual wealth. What is spiritual wealth? What is your spiritual wealth? What did you get when you got saved? What has your family gotten because of your relationship with the Father? Think of all the spiritual wealth that we have. Number one, our personal salvation, our salvation of our children, our spiritual wealth include this church. What a wonderful thing this organization is that we belong to here, a church we can come to and preach and teach and hear God's word. Spiritual wealth that the world don't have, and we have it. Thank God for the spiritual wealth that we have, for the children and the grandchildren that are saved, and on and on and on, because of the Father and His presence and given us salvation and given us an inheritance. I have an inheritance from my parents and my grandparents. And on we go. On both sides of my grandparents. We start counting all those things that God gives us, and a lot of that stuff we don't even think about. And we can be thankful to God and thank the Father that He's so gracious. And because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of the Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. We have the Holy Spirit now. Think about that. The Old Testament folks, they had not the Holy Spirit. It would come and go on the prophets. They had to sacrifice animals all the time. They had to go to the tabernacle, all that went on there. But we have the Holy Spirit. God gave us that gift. What a spiritual gift that is. And now we're allowed to call God Daddy, Father. I need this. Can you help me with this? Dad, can you show me how to do this? Don't you love it when your children or your grandchildren come to you and say, can you help me with this? Like I was telling you a week ago, how Noah came to me and asked me about Revelations. My grandson. And I gave him some books and charts and this and that and the other. And Katie said the other night he was in 12 o'clock, laying in bed, looking at all those charts, saying, I'm figuring out Revelations. What a spiritual inheritance that is. What a blessing that is. And hey, it ain't nothing I did. It's what God has done through me. Give Him the credit. Praise the Lord. The Father designation. Let's look at that. And you know, the disciples didn't have this figured out either. In John 14:9, Philip said to the Lord, Lord, show us the Father. He didn't know the connection. I don't think the disciples didn't get it till right toward the last who Christ was. And Jesus said to him, have I been so long a time with you, and ye hath thou not known me, Philip? He that hath sent me hath sent the Father. And now sayest thou then, show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am the Father, and the Father in me? See, that's what got these guys. How can this man that's standing before us, how can he be God but man? See, it's hard for us to wrap our hands, but they could put their hands on him. Think about that. And they're still questioning. Philip is. I think Philip was, he was a guy that didn't care to speak up. And I can see those other disciples saying, go on up there and ask him. See what he says. go ahead and ask him. So I don't know the answer to this. You go ask him. They pushed Philip up there to Jesus, and he's asking. Jesus said, what do you mean you're asking me this? And you've been with me and seen all the miracles and seen what I'm doing, and I've told you where it's going? They couldn't wrap their minds. It's hard for us to wrap their minds about God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. The Trinity, three in one, and he was standing in front of them. Hard for us to wrap our minds around that. Much less a young Christian, somebody that just got saved. Some of those in-depth things, they need to go through a discipleship thing and gradually mature them. You can't throw all that on one person at one time. Just get the salvation part done where they can say, now God is my Father. And then all the depth can come later. So we see here that Christ was telling, believe me that I am the Father, and the Father is in me. For else believe me for the very word's sake. He was looking in their hearts and minds, and he's saying, just believe what I'm telling you. I can see in your heart you're having trouble with this, but just believe, just reach out by faith and believe what I'm telling you. I am God. I am the Father. And he was looking and saying, just, I can see you're having trouble, guys. Just take my word for it. It was at that point they were having that discussion. They were babes in Christ. And you look at this verse, and if you look there in part of that verse 9, it says down there, he that hath seen me has seen the Father. This article, the, is emphasizing this title, God's own personal glory as Father, the one above all other fathers. See? The Pharisees got this. When they heard it, that's what they were so upset about. It just tore them all to pieces for this man to stand around and say he is God. That's the main thing that got him hung on the cross. One of the main things. Because this man, they say, he's blaspheming. You can't say that. You're not going to say that. You can't use God's name like that. They couldn't and didn't want to give up their position in the church and as Pharisees and leaders of the Jewish community and Jewish politics, and the whole thing was all woven together with the Roman Empire. It was a real mess. Kind of a mess like we have today in politics. Just a mess. And in that day, because of that mess, because of what Christ saying that he was the Father, he was hung on the cross. The claim of his deity, worshiped the Father there in John 4:21. The revelation of his love, the only begotten of the Father in John 1:14. The power of his Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name. The character of the Son's service, the Father which has sent me. Christ could say that because he was his real Father at that time. Because they didn't understand that relationship. He kept using the Father. And then they used to use Father. When Father was used alone, it speaks of his intimate relationship with God. Because he talks about in Luke, Father. In Matthew, O Father. Then he uses Abba, Father. Talking about how close he was. The last time Christ used that word on earth, Father, was on the cross. Last time he used that word Father was on the cross. Then he talks about my Father. He first used my Father at the age of 12. Remember, he went off and he was in the synagogue. They lost him and had to go back and find him. And his mom was worried, sick, and dad, and they went back, and there he was in the synagogue teaching and preaching. And they said, this young man's speaking stuff beyond what we can even understand and believe. And he talks about that the Father, my Father, authorized me to do this. I have to do this because my Father said that I needed to do this. When Jesus said, my Father, instead of using our Father, he was claiming he was equal with God. And that's why these Jewish leaders again just went crazy when he said, my Father. He was claiming his deity in front of these people. Oh, and it just drove them nuts, these Jewish leaders of the church at that time. Because this that he was speaking was a salvation that God was getting ready to give man, and they saw that their works salvation, their works religion, and all the stuff that they did and all the stuff they wanted people to do, and didn't recognize them in the street walking around in their nice robes and had bells all tied to the bottom of their coat, and all that they did to look, the pomp and ceremonies and all of that was getting ready to fall away. Because that day that Christ died on the cross, the curtain in the temple, this curtain was huge, a big piece of tapestry, probably as tall as that wall right there, tore from the top to the bottom. God tore it in half. And the truth is, these Sadducees and Pharisees saw it coming. They just couldn't stand to bear it. And they put the man on the cross. They put my God on the cross. Jewish leaders accused him of breaking all kinds of Sabbath, blaspheming, because he was claiming to be God. How about your Father? I've got to quit. Your Father gives us privileges. Not only with the free privileges, we have obligations. Don't you have obligations to your Father here on earth? Or your grandfather? I'm obligated to do right and be right and stand up. And I can remember my father and my grandfather both said, stand up, look people in the eye, take your hat off when you go in, open the doors for the ladies, shake hands properly. Things that don't get taught today. But I was obligated to do that. God obligates us to do things. We know all those things that God, many, many lists of obligations, goes along with these privileges that we have to have a Father in heaven. So we see that it comes down to where your Father, and we can call him Abba Father. He allows us to do that because the Word says we can. That's the most intimate, close relationship that he wants us to have. Do you have that Abba Father relationship today? Can you go to him and say, Abba Father, I need your help? Not just some little old quick prayer, not just some little old prayer, but really understand who you're talking to and get in depth connection to our Father in heaven. Okay, I got to quit. They're going to run me off. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your love. We thank you for your grace. Our gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, how wonderful you are. How the wisdom that you have for us as children of God. Lord, help us every day. We fail every day, and we're sorry for that. Lord, give us a good morning in church. Pray for our pastor as he speaks today. Pray it'll touch hearts, change lives, and see people saved. We love you. Thank you, Father, for being there for us. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen. Thank you all.